Welcome to Project Pod, monthly interviews with people who have their own businesses or side projects, sharing why they do what they do and what they've learned along the way. So I decided to start this podcast last year really because I love podcasts and I also love hearing people's stories and sharing them. And I hope that in sharing these stories that people will feel a connection to what's being said and that you'll feel inspired into action in developing your own projects. So today I have an interview with Selina Barker, who is one half of the brilliant Project Love, which we recorded last summer. And Selina is a careers coach who teamed up with love and relationships coach Vicky Pavitt to create Project Love. Project Love is all about helping women create lives and relationships they want. And they do this through their series of one-to-one and group coaching and their amazing podcast, which was how I initially discovered Project Love, which I highly recommend. And we talked about how at the heart of what Project Love does is helping women to have the courage to follow their own path. We spoke about the different programs that they run. Selina spoke about a program called Project Love 365, which, although that's come to an end, at the heart of that is really the importance of community and women supporting each other, which is something that runs through all of Project Love's work. And we also spoke about developing a business and the importance of experimenting and working out what works for you. Selina mentioned how when Project Love started, it was really a series of rough and ready podcasts, as she described them. They recorded them at the South Bank and then developed them from there. And something that has really come up in all of these interviews is that it's about the long route, really, in developing things. It's about not being seduced by the idea that's popular at the moment. Selina and Vicky went from the podcasts, followed what felt right for them and what they really loved doing. I hope you really enjoy the interview today and get a lot from it. I love speaking with Selina, and here it is.
So I'm here with amazing Selina Barker of Project Love, of Project 365, of many, many projects. It's so wonderful to speak with you, Selina.
Oh, it's great to be here.
I was just wondering if you could give a little summary of what projects you're working on at the moment.
What, within Project Love? So the project that we're working at the moment is a big project to write a book. So we are at the book proposal stage, deciding what exactly the book will be focusing in on, which is in itself an interesting challenge because Project Love, as you know, having been part of it, focuses on getting ready for love, designing a life that you love. I've been a career coach for the past 7 years, so I now bring my career change journeys under the umbrella of Project Love. So we've got many different journeys we take people on. So when you're actually writing a book, it's suddenly like, okay, which one are we going to focus on? But it looks like at this stage in time, we're heading down the designer life that you love. So really showing people how to step into a place of love and really follow their heart in life, which sounds cheesy, but when you actually do it, it's radical, and it really is, and it's life-changing from the inside out. But yeah, so it's an exciting, challenging project.
Yeah, and I know another thing that you, probably how I first got into Project Love was your podcast.
Yes.
So could you just say a little bit about them, about why you chose podcasts and what the experience is like? Because I love your podcast, as you know, and I think I've realized they've reached so many women.
Yeah, I love our podcasts. Every time I do one, I think I would just, in the future, if I could just be doing this would make me a very, very happy lady. And it already does make me a very happy lady. So we started doing podcasts right from the start with Project Love. From the beginning, Project Love has been about getting women together and having conversations that matter, conversations that you know, go under the surface, go into the deeper topics about life and love. We started our project, I've really focused on talking about love lives. That's how Vicky and I met. She helped me with my love life and I helped her sort of with her career, actually. So it's almost like a skill swap. And so we thought, we need to, these conversations we're having around love, we need to just be sharing them with other women. And I'd done a few podcasts before, and so we started doing that. And really, like, rough and ready podcasts, properly homespun. And we used to do them out, I think, down at the South Bank where we worked from, so you could hear people walking by and you could hear all the commotion, and we were just like, and I'm really, really into embracing imperfection, like, just get stuff out there. That has been my, you know, my business training by the wonderful Marianne Cantwell for years. It's just get stuff out there, don't try and have everything polished or you'll probably not do anything. So we just put stuff out there and people immediately started to really engage with them and enjoy them, saying, sounds like we're just, you know, we're listening to sort of two girlfriends having a really good, deep, meaningful, which, Vicky, you'll find at any party, Vicky doing that anyway, naturally, always in the corner having a deep, meaningful about love and life. And then over time, it's really expanded into not just about love relationships, but into living a life you love and following your heart. So we've got, we have sort of three strands to the podcast. There's conversations with me and Vicky, talking about all sorts of topics on living a life that you love and love and relationships. And then Vicky does real love stories. So she interviews people about how they met their partners and just really gets into like really what went on. And actually I did it for her hen party. I interviewed her fiance and heard his real love story. And that was as a surprise gift to her, which was is really interesting hearing from the male point of view. So we have a few of those. And I also have a series within the podcast on women who follow their hearts. So to really just speaking to ordinary women who've actually just made courageous choices to follow their own path in life. Because it does take courage, because I think most of us grow up in a culture or in a family that says, this is how you're supposed to do it. And you don't go off and choose your own path. And so it really does take courage to say, actually, I'm going to choose my path, whether you guys like it or not. And I love you, but I'm still going to do it. And so, so I interview women about how they've done that and how they've overcome the challenges. And just, it's really about inspiring women to live a life from the heart, live a life of love in really practical terms. So as much as we're about inspiration, we're also about going, okay, how can you now integrate these lessons into your day-to-day life? How can you use these to help change and change your life if you need to change it, or just how to flourish in life? Mm-hmm. Really?
I love what you were saying before about having that imperfect action be a real central part of your business and how you've developed it. And I think, you know, with the rise of social media and you see so many final results, that it's can be so off-putting for people who are trying to start out and questioning themselves. But I was wondering if you could just say a little bit more about that.
Oh, it's so important on so many levels. We are in such a perfectionist society, dangerously, dangerously so. If you look at it, impacts on every area, it impacts on relationships, looking for the perfect partner, expecting perfection from them, expecting perfection from yourself. We give ourselves a hard time at work because we expect perfect results. We are cruel to our bodies, trying to make sure, you know, trying to get them to look that perfect way. And Marianne Woodman, who is a psychotherapist from Canada who trained with one of Jung's pupils, she says perfectionism is the rejection of life. And she, her own journey, she really struggled with eating disorders, and so she's got a very, very personal experience with it. But I love that phrase, and I think you see it actually so much in social media. I mean, it's, you know, it's a well discussed topic of all these kind of like filtered selfies and these popular figures on Instagram and social media that portray this supposed relaxed, authentic life that's highly polished and perfected. And I think it's very unhealthy for us. It makes me very uncomfortable. At the same time, I'm like slightly obsessive, like, why are they doing that? It's just like, why don't you just step away? Because you're now falling down the precipice as well. So back away, stop it. But I think also in terms of coming at it from a different angle, the reason it's so important in business or even in creating a life you love, designing a life that you love, you need to embrace imperfection, because you need to be able to, it's so important to go out and try things out, particularly in business. If you're wanting to create your own business, you have to try things out. You have to explore and experiment. That is the only way you're going to learn. And what I see where people get stuck is when they want it, they don't want to show anything to the world until it's perfect, until they really feel it's polished and professional. If you wait till that point, you may design, you may create a product, whether it's a clothing line or whether it's a course or whatever it might be, that people don't want, because you never actually put anything out there to get, you need feedback. You might create something that you really want, but what if you're like one of the only people? And so, you know, I've done plenty of putting things out there in imperfect form that have flopped, and plenty of things out there in imperfect form that have really taken off. Like Project Love, we started off so rough and ready, and it really took off. And before we knew it, the press were interested. We were like, what? I mean, we barely put ourselves together. But it doesn't need, being polished and perfect is not what leads you to success. And if you're waiting to be polished and perfect before you reveal yourself to the world, A, you may have gone down completely the wrong track. And B, people don't actually want polished and perfect. I mean, sometimes they do. But if what you want is real connection with the world around you, which I do, and which the women that we work with do, then you don't want things that are polished and perfect, because like Marianne Woodman says, it's a rejection of life. There's something uncomfortable with it. There's something not real. You can't connect with perfect and polished. Mm-hmm. There needs to be that vulnerability. There needs to be that imperfection that you can see. That's real beauty, is when there's imperfection, yeah. As well as, you know, the nicely honed and crafted things as well.
I feel like at the heart of what you and Vicky do with Project Love is this creating greater connection. And before we were recording, I was just talking with you about various friendships I've made with people through Project Love. Yeah, I was just wondering if you said something about that.
It makes, I mean, I just, when we were talking before this recording and you were saying about all the people that you had met through Project Love and that sense of community and the conversations you have because of this common understanding that Project Love has given you about just how to approach life, how to empower one another and how change is possible. And you know, and you really can dream things up and make them real. That's been, you know, big passion of mine to spread that message for a long time, because it is for me what the magic we have as human beings is the fact that we can in our imaginations come up with an idea and then through action and commitment make it real. There is no other animal that can do that. That is our magic. And so even the smallest little dreams, there's such fulfillment that comes from bringing that to life. Even the little dream, like I had a dream as a child, I was always used to play at selling ice creams. And so when I was in my 20s, I actually had the opportunity to do that at festivals. And I remember being this ice cream van and the little girl in me being like, oh my God, you did it. We actually did it. This is the most exciting. I was scooping up ice creams and just like, it was like the little girl in me, her dream had come true. And that was, it took me by surprise how powerful that was. That's not the question you asked at all. What was the question you originally asked? Something about community. I can't remember now. What was it?
Yeah, we're just talking about the power of community beyond and creating something that's more about just...
connection.
Yeah, that's about genuine connection. So it starts off with that reconnecting to yourself. And through that, you then, the richer connections that grow with other people are... amazing.
It's actually, particularly for women, incredibly powerful to gather with other women and support one another through close friendships, but also in community. It's important for men as well, but there's something particularly powerful when women do it. And there's actually all sorts of fascinating research which shows, for example, there was one cancer charity that did a research showing that women who have close supportive networks of other women, there's a significant increase in the speed at which they recover or having a full recovery, that actually we help women help one another to heal. Like there's actual evidence, and that just blows my mind. I think a world where more and more women are coming together to create their lives from a space of love will have an incredible ripple effect, because we naturally look to see how we can help those around us, in our family, amongst our friends. It's just hardwired into how we are. We look to see how, you know, in developing countries, they work with microfinancing with women, because if you help a woman get on her feet and start making money, she will use that to benefit her community. When they've experimented with men, and this is not to in any way to criticize men at all, it's just, you know, they have a far more individualist way of going about things. I don't know if that's even the right word, but you know what I mean. They will often take that money and go off and, you know, go off to another city, go into the city and try and start making something there, and you'll never hear from them again. So I think that the power of women coming together, it has a ripple effect naturally into their community. But I think what's really important for us, we've not grown that fast. We're not interested in, I mean, it's just not in us anyway to be, we're not marketeers. You know, we are coaches and we love community. It's still on the number one thing on my list as we move forward into our next vision for Project Love, is to continue to cultivate a community of amazing women. It nourishes us as much as we are hopefully nourishing the women in that community. And it's really important for me to be able to, we have lots of live sessions and we invite people to come along, but it's really important that I feel that I know the women in that community. And I've held communities of up to 300 people before, when I used to run the 30-day challenge. And I still, it was important to me to really get a sense of and know as many of those 300 people in those 30 days as possible, which usually completely burnt me out, because that's a huge number of people to hold the space for. It was complete madness. I wouldn't do it to that scale again. But within our Project Love 365, which is our membership group community, where it's all about designing life you love one project at a time, there's about 75 people in there at the moment, and we want that to keep growing, but never to the extent where I don't feel like I don't know people's journeys and what they're going on. And if someone says I'm this person doing that project, I'm like, I know exactly who you are. And it's interesting, I often know people because of their projects, not because of their name. If I'm there in person, I always recognize a face. But names I'm not so good on. But projects, I will remember someone's project from 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because I think projects that come from the heart are such a reflection of that person that it imprints in my mind. I remember it. But yeah, we're really, really, really all about community. I think because also it's so important to us, and it's been such a life force for both Vicky and I in our lives, having sister circles and having these growing communities of women in our own personal lives, but also with Project Love. It's just, you know what it is like. There's a nourishment you get with that like none other. It's so empowering.
This idea of building things project by project is such a great idea, because it took me ages to kind of get into that mindset and go, actually, that's what really works. Just trying something and getting that feedback. I wonder, what are the kind of projects that people have got going on in that group? You could say a bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it works really well within businesses, which is where I sort of perhaps began with the projects. But actually then I started to realize quite a few years ago, and I remember a friend of mine said to me, just living life one project at a time. And I was like, that is genius. I mean, that is, yes, of course, because, you know, you can, the problem is you can create this vision, you know, if you dare to allow yourself, because a lot of the time we don't even dare to allow ourselves to even take the time to think, what life do I really want to be living? Because often the life that you dream up is seems so far removed from the life you're actually living. It's like, let's shut that down, because knowing that that's what I want to be living and comparing it to what I'm living now is so horrible that I wish I hadn't even thought of that. So let's throw the vision board away, never think of it again. And the way I look at it is, well, of course you're not going to, you know, create that life tomorrow. But let's now break it down into different projects. And you also can't do it all at the same time. If you realize that you're single in a 9-to-5 job, and what you really want is to be running your own business, be your own boss, and be in a loving relationship, then I wouldn't suggest you embark on all those journeys right now, today, like one at a time. And even the smaller stuff. So actually, really interestingly, within So within Project Love 365, it's there if you want to be sort of designing a lifestyle that you love. It's there if you want to be attracting and cultivating a loving relationship. Vicky does sessions on love and relationships. I do sessions on life design and career. So it's there if you want to change career, but it's also there. A lot of people use it for looking after their self-care and their self-love. And what's interesting is people will start like, right, I don't know what it is that I need to change, but I know something needs to change because I'm not happy. I'm burnt out. I'd hate my job, or I'm not sure, you know. Or some people come in going, right, I need to change career. Let's start here. Let's get some support while I get this journey off the ground. But invariably, we have a guide that helps you to choose your project. And invariably, people realize, oh God, you know, before I even embark on any of these bigger journeys, I need to actually focus on my self-care and self-love. And that's what we show people in all of our courses, actually. It really is at the heart of Project Love, as well as community and conversation, is this, the whole notion that to really live a life that you love, you need to have it grounded in self-love and self-care. Well-being is the foundation of happiness. So if you're not well in your body, even if you designed the most amazing life for yourself, you would not enjoy it, because your body would be, you wouldn't be feeling good in your body. So you need to be nourished. You need to be giving your body what it needs to feel alive and to feel calm and to feel energized. But you also really need to have, if you've got the most amazing looking life and your inner talk is negative and you're constantly giving yourself a hard time, it's just like, right, next project, what's this, da, 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 da. Comparing yourself to others, anytime you make a small mistake, oh my God, you're such an idiot. If you've got that voice going on, which we call the shitty committee, which, you know, you've heard that many times from us about the shitty committee. It's also a big lesson, a big learning in all of our courses, the importance of getting to know your shitty committee and learning how to turn the volume down. Because if you have that loud shitty committee, again, it's like hanging around all day with someone who's constantly on at you, giving you a hard time. At the end of the day, you'd feel exhausted. You'd feel like crap. It wouldn't have been a day well spent if you spend a day with someone who's speaking to you with love and supporting you and encouraging you, but also, you know, saying, let's just have a little word about this. What's going on there? But in a loving way, you know, not just saying just blowing smoke up your ass, but you know what I mean. But you know, it's someone that's like the most loving person is going to be also holding you to account and making sure that you're being your best self without putting pressure on you. You spend a day with that person, you feel like you can achieve anything. You'd feel great at the end of the day. And so it's really, really important. And that's what self-love is. It's about looking after your needs, knowing what you need, giving yourself what you need, and speaking to yourself like you would someone that you really love. And that person needs to be you. So quite often when people come and join Project Love 365 with their sights on, right, I want to design a life I love, and it's going to look like this, and I'm going to have this, they then go, oh, hold on. I think I need to start with self-care or self-love. So a lot of the projects are really, there's a really simple one where we call it 28 days of self-care or 28 days of self-love. And we designed this a few years ago for a campaign around Valentine's Day, 28 days of love. And the simplest way is you write down 28 things that will show yourself either self-care or show yourself a little piece of love every day. And you can do repeat ones. I can never think of 28 separate things. So I do repeat ones. Put them in a jar, and each day you pick one out. So say it's self-care. It might be like, right, today, take 5 minutes to just have a nap, or maybe not 5 minutes, or meditate, or really start the day with a nutritious breakfast. Get out in the park. Go for a walk along the river. Journal. Whatever it is that you know you need to look after yourself, mind, body, and soul. And it's just a really, because also a lot of the women we work with are busy. So the other thing with projects is it shows you that even with the smallest amount of time a day or a few days a week, you can move forward. So because I think a lot of the time people go, even if I knew what I wanted, how am I going to have the time to make these big changes in my life? And so we show people that through projects, you can break them down. But some of the interesting, so different kinds of projects, self-care, self-love. Someone did a project that was all about connection. And for that, she made a jar of different things that would make her feel more connected each day. She picked one out, but she also decided to organise a street party. So that's a great one to connect with her community. So she's in the middle of doing that. Someone else who did a project that was all about learning and creativity. So she was going off and doing lots of different workshops and events that would give her the opportunity to learn new things and try new things out. She just wanted to kind of, yeah, find some new hobbies in her life and engage more in her creativity. My project this coming month is all about love and relationships. So I'm reading a book by David Rico on how to be an adult in relationships, and going to be like just really feeding up on inspiration on podcasts and things to kind of just see what we can do, what I can do in my own personal romantic relationship to see how I can nourish that even more and give that a bit of love and attention. Because sometimes we've got a 2-year-old and we've both got busy work, and the relationship can sometimes just be left to figure itself out and just tick along. It's just like, no, I think this needs a bit of nourishment and a bit of loving attention. And so that's going to be my project for this month. So there's just all sorts of different projects, and of course people changing career and starting their own businesses, and people who already run their businesses and are kind of, you know, keeping it going and taking it to the next level and using projects to do that. So projects are usually between 1 month to 3 months. So you can, a seasonal project or a 1 month project is usually how we help people structure them. But yeah, they're just so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Just that, those ideas of build things project by project, so you can really take that in perfect action and see, get the feedback. You know, kind of also from you finding out whether you like the thing that you think you might like. Yeah. And whether, rather than kind of this perfect dream of, oh, one day I could, you know, I could, you know, open a school, I could, I don't know, whatever it is, that sometimes I hear friends talking about things that they dream of doing.
Running a cafe. Always a big dream.
Yeah.
So nearly everyone has the cafe dream.
Yeah.
And it's such, and that's why it's so important to try it out for size.
Yeah.
Because our imaginations, while I talk of this magic we have as human beings, our imagination and making it real, our imagination is still limited. We're going based on either what we've seen other people do or what we've experienced. So if you've never actually experienced running a cafe or doing anything like that at all, you may have projected ideas onto it that aren't real. So you need to try it out now in a small way. Go and help someone run a cafe. Go and see what it actually takes. So I wanted to be a jewelry designer really early on after I left university. I loved the idea of it. I was going to be wafting around the world, you know, getting inspiration and creating jewelry. And that was pretty much it. I was wafting around traveling, I think. And so I decided to make it real in a 6-week project. Not that I set it as 6 weeks, but I was just like, I'm going to give this a go and like get it off the ground. Get one idea for a jewelry thing that was actually clay beads, but beautifully done. And I did it, and I got my friend at a brand, and I made the jewelry. I sold the jewelry that had people on a waiting list that never got the jewelry, because it was the most boring experience. I was literally sitting in my living room, my tiny flat in Wandsworth, making these clay beads, watching daytime television. And I was just like, I mean, obviously there are other ways you can do it. I was just like, but it was a repetitive task. And I just realized for me, and knowing my personality type as an ENFP in Myers-Briggs, and it literally says repetitive tasks are like death to you. And I was like, you're right, it really is. I'm not, that's just not me.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if I'd gone off and done a 1-year course in jewelry design, spending thousands of pounds to go and make this dream real, then I would have discovered this much later on at a huge cost. And now having put all that investment in, it's like, oh God, I've got to give this a go now. Whereas doing it in 6 weeks, I was like, I learned so much from it. I didn't want to do jewelry making, but what I realized was I had what it took to get a business off the ground. And that really was such a huge, huge and empowering lesson, that it was one of the best little businesses that I ever did. And I did all sorts of little businesses, teaching Spanish in offices and, you know, and working with other people that had really interesting businesses, working at festivals on food vans and all sorts. But I think that's why, particularly when you're changing career or starting business, this whole embracing imperfection, trying things out in a small way, any big dream. And this is the other thing that we teach, that any big dream you have, you can try it out in a small, on a small scale with a 1 to 3 month project, not anything longer than that. So if at the end of the 3 months, you're like, oh, I didn't enjoy that at all, fine, on with the next idea. Versus realizing that after a year, it just the disappointment, and also the perhaps then the, you know, you feel that perhaps you should carry on because you've already put so much in. It's a lot harder to walk away from it, even though in your heart of hearts, you know that it's not right. And I've had to help people walk away from businesses after 3 to 10 years of sweat and toil and financial investment, because what they didn't do from the start was to ask themselves, does actually running this business make me come alive? Does it involve the thing, doing things that I truly love and that make me happy? And it didn't, but they were in love with the idea of it. Yeah. And that is the big, big problem, which is why it's so important to try the idea out on a small scale first, so that you can know if it's actually what's going to make you come alive. Yeah. Because if it doesn't, don't do it. It's not the job. It's not the business for you.
I think that's such good advice. And how also I love how you embed that within a community, which then it kind of, that tendency then that, because it can be, it's hard and can be quite isolated working on these projects, trying to develop your thing by yourself. But having that support, but also the feedback from other people, then when you might have a tendency to, who are all wanting to achieve that same, you know, the same thing, develop their own projects, side businesses, main businesses, whatever it is, but people who get that and can help you with those little pitfalls where you might have got stuck by yourself. I think that's such an incredibly valuable thing, basically. But yeah, I was just thinking, something that's I love about your work is the fact that you've taken the long route with it, although actually you've done so much in a short space of time. But I know when you kind of, you say, well, actually there was a lot of, before the very, very visible Project Love stuff, there's been so much stuff that's happened before that.
Oh God, yeah.
And I think we see so many people that seem to have suddenly got thousands of followers or doing this or that, whatever. And but this idea of embracing the long route, and if that is your style, and to me, which is a synonymous with life, really.
You know, we are in such a society of overnight success and let's make this happen fast. And when you do suddenly have that dream of owning your own business, you want it now, you know, and that's completely understandable. And I wanted it now when I sort of had big dreams of, you know, having a kind of online business that inspired people and helped people. And that was 10 years ago. And since then, I started off co-founding Career Shifters, and did that for 3 years. And then, you know, I've done all sorts of different things. But I think it's really important for those of us who do now have successful businesses doing things that we love, that we are honest about. And Steve Jobs says this, and Marianne Campbell, and the courses we've done in the past, it's really, really, you know, we really put, you know, push this, that it's not a linear route, and you've just got to keep trying things out. It's like a more of a spiral than a straight path. And Steve Jobs said it in his famous inauguration speech, you know, that it's easy to look back and connect all the dots, but when you're going forward, you're just blindly going into it. You know, there is no guaranteed way forward. And I just think it's also, if you try and go too fast, you can really lose connection with your heart, and what, you know, it's harder to then change tack. I think it's easier to lose your integrity with yourself. So I actually think the slower route is necessary if you do want to have a business that really does come from the heart. The heart doesn't rush. And you can have sudden, you know, I've worked with people who just like that, just suddenly had tens of thousands of followers on Twitter. I've seen it overnight because of something that they, you know, wrote that went viral. But that wasn't planned. It was just crazy. And then they were like, wow, what do I do with this now? But so that, you know, it happened without it being planned. I think if you're chasing after the big numbers and trying to go for speed and rapid success, it depends on the business, but certainly if it's a business that's about inspiring, that's working with people on a level of inspiration and guidance. And if you're chasing after that fast, quick path, with lots of followers, and really going down the route of popularity, mm-hmm. then you're playing a dangerous game, and the one that's going to lose out, I think, is you, because I think the ego gets so caught up in that journey that then the ego can end up being in control of you and your business. I see that happen a lot. I've been in this game for a very long time. Marietta, I was saying to Marianne, you know, we got into this 10 years ago when coaching and online courses were like the least cool thing. Everyone was like, you do what? Who joins up to those? I was just like, well, slightly niche people, but there's an audience, and I'm going to, you know, and I love it, and that's why I'm doing it. You certainly didn't do it in those days because it was fashionable or because it was going to, you know, make you seem cool. Whereas nowadays it is very fashionable. And so, so there's a different, there can be a different vibe going on. There can be different agendas to why people are you know, wanting to join the well-being and coaching industry, actually. Mm. I think something that
Danielle Laporte, I think, was saying something about that, this idea of building a business because of, you know, where that intention underneath is coming from.
Yeah, because I think you can, and I think, and I think you can get caught up in looking at the lifestyle gurus on Instagram online and think, wow, I want to be like them. Success looks like that. And in your heart of hearts, it's because you do want to help inspire people. There, you know, there is that. But you think that what that looks like is to have loads of followers and to have this kind of, you know, glossy looking life. But Marie Forleo, I remember her saying, let me show you how my videos began. I love Marie Forleo. I love the way she's done things. I think there's a lot of people then try and copy her in a way, which then doesn't work because it's not coming from their heart. But I understand that. My God, I've tried to copy 1,000,001 people, you know, and you do that when you're beginning. So be forgiving of yourself. But she said, look at my videos. And if you haven't seen Marie Forleo, she does a lot of kind of business and lifestyle coaching, and it looks a bit like a music video sometimes, and it's fun and it's funny and it's lots of graphics and things like that. But her first videos were her in her tracksuit sitting in front of her laptop at a bad angle, just talking about just the same topics, but kind of, you know, meandering through them and pieced together. And even many years later, when she was doing interviews, you could see her umming and ahhing, probably like I'm doing this one, and sort of, you know, feeling her way through things. But it was wonderful that she showed us that, to say, I didn't start off like this. So if you're starting out, do not be trying to create a Marie Forleo. Just be you in front of a laptop, just come back from a gym class, just who you really are. And then over time you can start, you know, polishing up a bit, think a bit more about the clothes you're wearing in front of your video, you know, blog and things like that. That's great. Get better lighting. But you don't need to start that way, because you need to start by being you, and then you keep magnifying that version of you, but not from the start trying to be someone else. And I think it's very easy to fall into that trap today, basically.
I think so, that reconnecting to yourself, imperfect action, one project at a time, and keeping that kind of compassionate center, being all the center of what you do. So I think that's a lovely note to end it on.
What a wonderful way to sum it all up. Yeah, that's what we do.
I was thinking, so many projects and so many things that you have going on, but Project 365 and Project Love and the various things that happen under the umbrella of Project Love, where can people find you at to find more and to, you know, if they want to work with you?
Yeah, come to loveprojectlove.com, sign up to the weekly newsletter, so you'll get the podcast that we do, and you'll get notifications if you're wanting love coaching, or if you're wanting career coaching, and then podcasts, obviously, on iTunes. You will find them on our website, but subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy them, leave a review.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Zina. It's been brilliant talking with you today.
Oh, it's been so good. Thank you.